A very blessed and happy Sabbath to each one of you. And it's good to see you all once again. And welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And this is truly a wonderful and blessed Sabbath day for each one gathered here and each one of God's people gathered around the world. God is so merciful to each one of us, allowing us to be alive for such a time as this, and giving us the grace and the strength to perform His will in our lives. And I pray that each one of us will know and understand the work that God has for you to do. And no one else will be able to do it but yourself. God has definitely chosen you to work for Him in these last days. And what God desires you to do, He will give you all the grace and the strength and the wisdom to perform it. Just give Him your heart, and He'll take care of the rest. So welcome again, dear ones, and let's get right into our service for today. Our opening song is entitled, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. And the link is found at lightministries.com/ID1806.htm. Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea, unknown waves before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from Thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Though the sea be smooth and bright, sparkling with the stars of night, and my ship's path be ablaze with the light of joyful days, still I know my need of Thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When the darkened heavens frown, and the wrathful winds come down, and the fierce waves tossed on high lash themselves against the sky, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's oft-troubled sea. As a mother stills her child, Thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey Thy will, when Thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous Sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on Thy breast, may I hear Thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for bringing us all safely and healthfully to another Sabbath. And Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. Pray that you will be with us, lead us, guide us, open our understanding, cause us to escape from sin. And please deliver us from ourselves. And thank you so much for doing so. We also plead for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be with each one of us. And indeed, Savior, be our pilot, leading us safely through the tempestuous waves of life and bringing us safely to the harbor. We trust you, Lord. We love you and thank you so much for loving us and being so faithful. Help us to remember how you've led us in the past so that we will not give in to doubt at all, no matter what the future may hold. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here with us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in our book, Patriarchs and Prophets. And the link is lightministries.com/ID818.htm. And we're in chapter 8 now, which is entitled After the Flood. And we're down to the bottom of page 107. And the paragraph is highlighted there. It starts out, the entire surface of the earth. So we've gone through the flood. We've gone to after the flood when Noah and his family were finally let out of the ark. And now we're dealing with what the surface of the earth looks like after the flood. The entire surface of the earth was changed at the flood. A third dreadful curse rested upon it in consequence of sin. What was the first curse? The first curse was sin. The second curse is when Cain slew Abel. And now the third curse is the flood, destroying the surface of the earth from what it once was. So a third dreadful curse rested upon it in consequence of sin. As the water began to subside, the hills and mountains were surrounded by a vast, turbid sea. Everywhere were strewn the dead bodies of men and beasts. The Lord would not permit these to remain to decompose and pollute the air. Therefore, he made of the earth a vast burial ground. A violent wind, which was caused to blow for the purpose of drying up the waters, moved them with great force, in some instances even carrying away the tops of the mountains and heaping up trees, rocks, and earth above the bodies of the dead. You know, the mountains, the trees, and other natural barriers prevent the winds from continuing to increase in intensity. These hinder the intensity and bring the speed of the winds down. But when the flood was covering the entire earth, there was nothing to slow the winds down. So could you imagine how fierce these winds became? How strong they blew? How fast they traveled? I mean, there's winds that have been recorded, I think, on Jupiter that are over 400 miles an hour. the fastest wind on Earth is tornado, I think, is 308. But without there being any kind of hindrance to the winds, they just must have been tremendous. And God allowed these winds to be so tremendous in speed to help dry up the land and to also bring together all the debris, all the dead bodies of men, women, children, beasts, birds, all the litter of trees and ripped up plants and everything else, all of that he allowed these winds to blow and gather them up into deep pits. And then the winds were so violent that they actually blew the tops of mountains away. They moved rocks and dirt and piled it on top of all of this debris. And so now you have vast coal fields from all the debris of the wood. You have vast oil fields from all of the human and animal bodies decomposing underneath this mass of material. So before the flood, we didn't have any oil fields. We didn't have any natural gas. We didn't have any coal fields. All of that came from the debris and the dead, decaying bodies of the flood. So the Lord would not permit all of this debris to remain to decompose and pollute the air. Therefore, he made of the earth a vast burial ground. Violent winds carried away the tops of mountains and heaped up trees, rocks, and earth above the bodies of the dead. Continuing. By the same means, the silver and gold, the choice wood and precious stones which had enriched and adorned the world before the flood, and which the inhabitants had idolized, were concealed from the sight and search of men. The violent action of the waters piling earth and rocks upon these treasures, and in some cases even forming mountains above them. Why did God do that? Because people began worshiping the silver and the gold, the choice wood, the precious stones, instead of worshiping the God who made them. And so now God was going to make sure that after the flood, it was going to be so much more difficult to get a hold of the silver and the gold and the precious stones to be able to make things of them to worship. He was going to make it so much more harder to do so that people would not use these gifts as a means to forget the giver. And dear ones, if we are clinging to idols today, then God is going to follow the same principle with us. He's going to remove these things from us because we put more emphasis, we gave more of our time to these things instead of to God who gave them to us in the beginning. Continuing. God saw that the more he enriched and prospered sinful men, the more they would corrupt their ways before him. The treasures that should have led them to glorify the bountiful giver had been worshipped, while God had been dishonored and despised. So what was taking place before the flood is that individuals were doing anything and everything that they could to avoid worshiping the Creator. They were spending their time building up their homes, embellishing them with gold and silver and precious stones, with works of art and everything else. They were allowing their time to be absorbed in amusements, anything to keep them from thinking upon God, from contemplating the themes of salvation, from recognizing that there was a freedom from sin, and that they didn't have to continue to be slaves to it. And thus, they had little or no time left for God. So as they were putting more trust in their well-built homes, or more trust in their riches, or more trust in the amount of food they had in their barns, or more trust in their ministers or priests or church, God showed them just how worthless all these things are. And he allowed all of those things to be destroyed. And then finally, the people that trusted in them were destroyed. And they realized too late that they had been putting their trust in broken cisterns that could hold no water to save them and quench their thirst. And they had despised and forsaken the only Lord God that could possibly bring them salvation. Let us not do the same thing today, dear ones. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice homes and properties. But when you begin to trust in these things to save you from a future catastrophe, you're missing the mark. Because it's God alone that can save you from any future catastrophe. And if you've given your heart to the Lord, then there's no reason to fear about the future. There's no reason to become concerned about what may take place and thus hoard 3 years of food, or put a whole bunch of money into stocks or into gold and silver. There's no reason to do that, because God is in control of your life. And just as he was more than able to protect the three worthies that were thrown into the fiery furnace, so God can do the same for each one of us. So instead of stockpiling food for years, put that money into the Lord's work and give the spiritual food necessary to bring souls salvation. Instead of putting your money into stocks and bonds and investments in lands and property, put it into the Lord's work so that people will be enabled to have a rich inheritance when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes them home. Dear ones, this world is not our home. Heaven is our home, and after 1,000 years, the new earth will be our home. So don't allow this earth, this sin-cursed, spoiled earth, to become so much in your emotions and attention and focus of the future that you neglect to understand it's going to be destroyed. And everyone who clings to it will be destroyed along with it, just like the people before the flood. But instead, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cling to Him. Enter into Him, that you may become part of Him and sheltered. And He will indeed protect you, just like the people were protected in the ark. So God saw that the more He enriched and prospered sinful men, the more they would corrupt their ways before Him. And the treasures that should have led them to glorify God who gave them these treasures, they instead worshiped the treasures and dishonored and despised the giver. There was a comment in the room. It says, giving your money to God is like investing in the home of heaven. And the Lord's bank will never have a zero balance. That is very true. Whatever we donate to God's cause is kept on record of the good deeds and the amount of beneficial blessings it provided for others. And we will indeed be rewarded 100-fold in the kingdom of heaven and on the new earth. And there's no thief, there's no run on the banks, there's no insolvency that can ever take place with the Bank of Heaven. Your money will always be safe there. And the dividends that it pays you are out of this world, literally. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we continue on, dear ones? Oh, tell Sister Juanita hello for me. And praise God that she's able to be with you there. Okay, continuing the next paragraph. The earth presented an appearance of confusion and desolation impossible to describe. The mountains, once so beautiful in their perfect symmetry, had become broken and irregular. Stones, ledges, and ragged rocks were now scattered upon the surface of the earth. In many places, hills and mountains had disappeared, leaving no trace where they once stood. And plains had given place to mountain ranges. These changes were more marked in some places than in others. Where once had been earth's richest treasures of gold, silver, and precious stones were seen the heaviest marks of the curse. And upon countries that were not inhabited and those where there had been the least crime, the curse rested more lightly. So if you remember in Genesis, it talks about from the Garden of Eden, there was the river of life, and from that river broke into four different rivers from that. One of them was called Pison and Gihon, and there was another one called Havilah, and the river Havilah went down into the area that had a lot of gold. Well, all of that is over in the Middle East. And, yeah, and Euphrates, thank you. And Euphrates, of course, went into Babylon. But all of those areas had a lot of the riches before the flood. And so now, after the flood, the areas that had been blessed with the richest amount of gold and silver and precious stones were now hit the worst with the curse of the flood. And the countries that were not inhabited and thus didn't have a lot of crime, the curse rested more lightly. So over in the Middle East, we know it to be nothing but desert areas. Little bits and pieces here of oases and so on. But it's desert. That's where the greatest curse rested. So this brings up the principle that the more wicked a particular area, the more punishment that area receives. So now let's apply it on a personal level. The more wicked you are in life, the more punishment you're going to receive in the end. And the less wicked you are in life, the less punishment you'll receive in the end. The best scenario is to give all of yourself and all of your sins up and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, so that you won't have to suffer any punishment for these sins. They've been all forgiven. They've been washed away. They've been forgotten about. Because that's the penalty that Christ paid for each one of us, if we accept Him as our Savior. That's the best scenario. Christ has bore all the pain and suffering for us already. If we just accept Him, we'll be hid in Him and protected. Christ is indeed the ark of safety in these last days. But on the other side, if we accept Christ as our Savior, but then we continue to live like the world, if we profess to be a Christian, but we continue to live like we did before we became a Christian, we're going to have a greater punishment than even the wicked who never accepted Christ. And Christ brings this out in a parable. He mentioned that those who knew to do the will of his Father, but did not do it, shall be punished with a lot of stripes. But those who didn't know about the will of the Father, and of course they didn't do it, they received a few stripes. So the greater knowledge you have about salvation means you have a greater responsibility to follow it faithfully. And if you choose not to follow it, then you're going to be punished more severely than someone who never knew about that truth. So that same principle that applies with you and me applied with the earth. Those areas that were of the greatest crime saw more of the curse falling upon that territory than other territory that didn't have much crime. So, dear ones, God is keeping a record of everything that is taking place on this earth. And He's also keeping a record of where it's taking place and who is contributing to it taking place. It's all being faithfully chronicled. There's no way you can escape the record. It's there. There's nothing that you can do yourself to erase any of the sins that you've done. There's no amount of money that you can give to ransom your soul. or to have a single sin erased from that record. And God realized this, and out of pity, out of love, and tender longing to save us from such a fate, He sent Jesus down to become our sacrifice for sin. And then He gave Him to us as a gift, without money and without price. All we have to do is accept Him as our Savior, confess and repent of our sins to Him, and then our record book will be covered with His precious blood that will wash away every sin that we've committed. And will stand perfectly righteous in His sight, because He will clothe us with His own robe of righteousness. All of that is a gift, because God knew that there's no way any human being, even the richest person on the world, such as Bill Gates, there's no way that all of their riches can pay the infinite price of the life of the Son of God. All the money that Bill Gates has, all the money that Warren Buffett has, all the money of the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, all of them, doesn't come anywhere near to paying the price to atone for one single sin. That price was paid by Jesus Christ. It's an infinite price. And the Father knew we could never pay that price. He knew that the poor could never come up with anywhere near the amount of money that the richest person had. And thus He provided it to us as a free gift. That's why the poor widow, when she put in her two mites into the church treasury, gave more than those that had an abundance of money to give. Because it dealt with the heart. Money has a tendency to harden your heart, because you end up trusting in the riches that you have to protect you and provide for you in the future, instead of putting that trust in the Lord. But the widow, of her need, gave to God a willing offering. And that's what God is asking from each one of us, to willingly give Him our heart and accept the free gift and have salvation. And those who know this and who continue to cling to the world, or to trust in riches, or to trust in the church for salvation, are going to lose everlasting life, because they're no longer trusting in Jesus for salvation. Some other idol has taken His place in their heart, and they'll be lost along with that idol. That's why God is telling us in the last message of mercy, Revelation 18, Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people, so that you will not become a partaker of her sins and receive of her plagues. What is Babylon today? It's not the literal territory over in Iraq. It represents a church that professes to serve God, but when you investigate, they're not serving God at all. They're putting forward a deception under a Christian guise. And God is calling His people to forsake all those types of churches so that they will not be found placing their confidence in men or in church membership, but instead will be placing their confidence in God and in Jesus Christ for their salvation. So just as the people had to enter into the ark to be spared being destroyed in the flood, so people today have to forsake every fallen church, every confused religion, every deceptive denomination, and cling to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ, and enter into Him to be saved. It's the same message. It's basically the same scenario. And I pray that Jesus Christ will become your total and complete confidence, in whom you trust to the utmost, and let all these other things go by the wayside. Continuing. At this time, immense forests were buried. This is talking about just after the flood and how God was cleaning up the debris and stuff on the earth. At this time, immense forests were buried. These have since been changed to coal, forming the extensive coal beds that now exist, and also yielding large quantities of oil. The coal and oil frequently ignite and burn beneath the surface of the earth. Thus rocks are heated, limestone is burned, and iron ore melted. The action of the water upon the lime adds fury to the intense heat and causes earthquakes, volcanoes, and fiery issues. So were there volcanoes before the flood? No. Were there earthquakes before the flood? No. But after the flood, there definitely has been earthquakes and volcanoes. Continuing. As the fire and water come in contact with ledges of rock and ore, there are heavy explosions underground which sound like muffled thunder. The air is hot and suffocating. Volcanic eruptions follow, and these often failing to give sufficient vent to the heated elements, the earth itself is convulsed. The ground heaves and swells like the waves of the sea. Great fissures appear, and sometimes cities, villages, and burning mountains are swallowed up. These wonderful manifestations will be more and more frequent and terrible just before the second coming of Christ and the end of the world as signs of its speedy destruction. And this is very true. If you go on the internet and you search for data that has logged all the earthquakes for the last 50 years. And as you start to analyze this data, you will see something amazing. In the last 20 years, there has been so much more increase in earthquakes than there has been in the previous 30. you will see that the intensity of these earthquakes have gotten more intense and more frequently. If you do the same with volcanic eruptions, you'll find that the data is just as telling in increasing in these last days than it had before. So, dear ones, we are indeed in the days just before the second coming of Christ. This is just some of the signs that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 24. The very first sermon that was given in this home church went through and showed that all the signs that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 24 that were to come before his second coming have already or are now being fulfilled. Every single one of them. We are truly living in the last days of this earth's history just before our Savior comes. If we know that, or if you're just now coming to understand it, get ready for His return. Get your life in order. Make sure that all your sins are confessed before you go to sleep at night. Because tomorrow isn't promised to any one of us. Only today is promised. When I get in a plane and fly somewhere, I make sure before that plane takes off, I've said my prayers with God to forgive me of all known and unknown sin. Because I don't know if I'm going to land, I want to make sure my life is ready. Because I don't want to come this far and then lose it all. I want to make sure I'm ready. And dear ones, you should too. You don't have to travel away from your home in order to meet the end of your life. It can happen in your own home. So plead with God to send His Spirit to you to convict you of your sins and of righteousness and of judgment. And when you're convicted of a sin that you've done, right then and there, confess it. Have the blood of Christ covering it. So that you know your sins have gone beforehand to judgment and have been forgiven. So that they are not to follow you after the judgment to condemn you. Don't put it off. If you're convicted you've done wrong, right then and there confess it. If you're convicted you've hurt someone else unchristian way, then call them up on the phone. Or go visit them if they're close by you. Or in some way try to find them to ask for their forgiveness. And then go to God and ask for His forgiveness. We're too late in the day to play around with our salvation. Because we don't know what tomorrow or the next hour holds for any of us. I remember hearing of an incident that took place, and this just shows the mercy of God. There was a Christian man that was traveling in his car, and for some reason he got in an accident. I don't remember the details how it happened, but some individuals saw the accident occur. They saw the car of this individual roll over, And so they stopped and they went out and was trying to find him. They didn't know if he got ejected from the car or what, but they looked in the car and he wasn't there. And so they went around and searched on the back side of the car, and they found him. He was kneeling, and he was asking God to forgive him his sins and thanking him for giving him the opportunity to pray one more time. And then the man passed away. His life could have ended in that crash. And if there was any known sins that he had not yet asked forgiven for, he would have been lost. But God mercifully allowed him an extra couple minutes. And he used those minutes to the best advantage. And he died knowing that all his sins were forgiven. But dear ones, don't become presumptuous. If you know that you've committed sins and they're pressed upon your mind by the Spirit, which is his job to do, he'll convict us of all of our sins. Right then and there is the time to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you those sins. And don't let any distraction keep you from doing so. It's not worth it. If you're amidst a group of people and the Spirit impresses you that you've done something wrong, if it's to one of the people there or to the whole group, that's when you apologize to them and ask for their forgiveness. And then you ask for God's forgiveness for doing so, because it was his law that you broke. If it's a personal sin that comes up in your mind, excuse yourself, go somewhere where you can be alone, and ask God to forgive you. Don't put it off. We're too near the end. It's not worth it. But be safe. Know without a doubt that all your sins have been confessed and forsaken, and that you're hid under the blood and the precious robe of Jesus Christ. And then rejoice in the fact that he is your God, that you have a full and free salvation in him, which is indeed a cause for rejoicing. So don't play around, dear ones, because whether you're ready or not, our Savior's going to come. And I pray that you'll be among the group that says, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is our Lord. We will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. I pray that you'll be among that group and not among the other group who flee and try to hide themselves in the caves and the rocks and plead for the mountain to fall on them and hide them from the presence of him that comes in the name of the Lord. Flee to the ark of safety, Jesus Christ, and remain hid in him, and you will be saved. Are there any thoughts or questions or comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
And Rob and everybody, as you were talking concerning what happened to the man, I remember what happened to me. When Joshie was 2 years old, I had to take him to the doctor. And when I took him to the doctor, he had a fever. And the fever was so high that I was kind of afraid that it might do something with his skin. So when I took him to the doctor, I remember I only had like basically $10 in my pocket. And it was raining that day. But before I went to the doctor, I don't know, I just told my sister, if anything happened to me, there is a purse right over, I put the purse right by the nail, and I told her, take all the things then that in case of anything is in there, my papers and things like that. So when I went to the doctor's and I'm away coming back, I had to go and buy, I think it was the medication at the time, to be able to help him with the fever. So as I was crossing the street to go into the store, I had purchased a little juice so I can be able to give him because of the fever that was so high. And when I came back, I was searching in my bag because my mom had gave me the $10 to be able to take the cab to go back home. And I realized I couldn't find the $10. I just couldn't, you know. So I came back and I told the man, I said, sir, I think I gave you $10 because that's the only thing I have. And the man said, no, ma'am, you gave me $1. And I said, there's no way that I could give you a dollar because the only thing I had is $10 and that's what my mom gave me. And then the man said, no, you know, you only gave me $1. So as I was walking now, thinking, what am I going to do now because that's the only thing I had, I looked in my pocket and what comes out of my hand was the $10. And then I said, oh my goodness, I have to go back. So now, you know how your mind starts, you know, playing on, you know, don't go and tell him because, you know, if you go and tell him, you're going to be embarrassed and things like that. And then I was saying, no, what happened is, if something happened to me and I don't want to end up with that sin. So what I did, I went back to the store and I told the man, sir, I'm so sorry. I thought I gave you the $10 because that's the only thing I had. I didn't even know I had a dollar. And then the man got really mad. He said, I know, because, you know, you didn't give me an answer. I just wanted to tell you that. I apologize. Do you know coming back from the store, as I was crossing the street, an SUV was coming, and I saw it was coming so fast, so I took my body and took the blow and moved my son on the stroller on the side, and I fell on the floor. I'm so glad that my son was inside of the actual stroller, really strapped, and it just kind of went on the side, and he was still in there. The stroller fell, but I took all the blow of the car. And as I was walking, trying to be able to see if my son was okay, a lot of the people that was coming, they saw it from afar, and they wanted to know if I was okay. But in my thought, the only thing I could have thought about, my God, if I would not go back and told this man, I would have died in my sin. So at that moment, I noticed that the man that was in the SUV was an older man, and he was the son of a cop. You could see that anytime when they have police and they have relatives, they always give them a sticker in the car. So when the policeman were called, and then this lady stayed with me and she said, hold on here, don't worry, you know, they're going to come. But I said, no, I have to go to the pharmacy because if I don't go right now, my son's fever is going, you know, it's going to be so bad, I have to go. But they said, man, you can't leave the scene, you have to stay. And I said, no, I have to go, I have to take my son, you know, the medication. So I left them there, and I was limping, going towards the Rite Aid that is like two blocks from there. But I was just thanking God so much because, you know, something could have just happened. You know, I still don't even know how that I was able to to pass through that situation. So when I came back with the medication I gave my son to be able to help him with the fever started to go down after a while when I started to give him, like a good 45 minutes after. Going back to the scene now, the cop started to yell at me like if I was the one that hit the SUV. And I was saying, sir, if you notice, I had to leave because my son had a fever that was too high, and that was my concern. My son's health was more important to me than what happened to me. So he was so mad, and I started to say, Lord, I don't understand why this man was so angry, but I realized that it was actually the father of a cop. So he told me if I wanted to press charges, or I told him, no, I just wanted to go home. As the Rav was speaking concerning the man that was actually praying on his knees, it reminded me of that accident that I had with Josh. But praise God that the Lord made it happen that we are still here.
Somehow, when I learned about those kind of effects like earthquakes and stuff, I heard the same thing over here. In fire and flood and earthquake, God is warning the inhabitants of this earth of this soon approach. Oh, that the masses of people are discerning to realize this. Soon those coastal cities that have been like Sodom and Gomorrah for wickedness will be punished. So, after the flood, I assume sin and has returned into this world today. And if they will repent, these natural disasters like tornadoes, earthquakes, these hurricanes, typhoons, all these kind of natural disasters will come as a punishment, more like how Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire and brimstone.
And this is too, Brother Josh. And praise the Lord, Sister Rose, that you weren't hurt worse than you were, and that it was a glancing blow and not full on, and that Josh wasn't hurt at all, and that you were able to get the medication to lower his fever. That was quite an event that you went through, and praise God that you were concerned about your salvation enough to go back to the man and apologize to him for falsely accusing him. And I know the streets in New York can be really wide, and possibly you could have got hit head on if you hadn't have gone to that man and apologized. So praise God, dear sister, for watching over you. And praise God for watching over each one of us, because we're still alive in such a time as this for a reason. God still has a need for us to work for Him. So go to work, dear ones. No matter if that job that He has for you is very small or big, go to work for Him. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the big things. Because eternal life is waiting for you if you're faithful to God to the end. The crown of salvation will be given. So don't give up. Keep looking up. Keep moving forward. And soon you will see Christ come in the clouds of heaven. And what a glorious day that will be. I think we'll go ahead and stop right here at the end of the paragraph, just past page 109, and we'll take it up there next Sabbath. So are there any thoughts or comments, any other testimonies, or any songs that you'd like to sing, dear ones? Please feel free to do so.
This song I learned the Sabbath afternoon before the Sabbath is called The Very Same Jesus. Now I like to sing it. Come sinners to the living one, he's just the same Jesus as when he raised a little son, the very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come feast upon the living bread, He's just the same Jesus as when the multitude met. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come tell him all your griefs and fears. He's just the same Jesus as when he shed those loving tears. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come unto him for clearer light. He's just the same Jesus as when he gave the blind their sight. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Calmness the ways of trouble be. He's just the same Jesus as when he hushed the raging sea. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Someday our rapture God shall see. He's just the same Jesus. Oh, blessed day for you and me. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Hello everyone from Australia, to you all over in the rest of the world. It's Brother James here. Very interesting song, Brother Josh. Very encouraging. I have a testimony to share. It's just it's been happening for a month or two now. That's nice, seeing all these different names come up. I've always wanted to put you try there as a Christian, you want to do as much as you possibly can, and I thought, you know, a great avenue, of course, is the internet. And love to have a website, but I always thought that in Elder Roberts and Brother Nicholas's, when he was cooperative with us, that, you know, that really answered a lot of that need, because Brother Nicholas is that, as far as I know, 24-hour sort of service. He's very quick to get back to emails. I guess he spends a lot of time on there. And Elder Robert, of course, now has also got his own online home church. But I thought, well, what is something that you could possibly do? And it struck me that looking on the internet, there is no exhaustive cross-reference Bible in the King James Version. There are ones that are done based on commentaries that I've come across, but they're of the nature that, you know, the state of the dead's mixed up, and the heavenly sanctuary is like a foreign thing. The Sabbath, of course, is Sunday. And because you would all know, there's so many scriptures. Every time you read it, every day, the scriptures and spirit of prophecy, you learn things that you thought you knew. And it just made it that much more clearer. And then you can see other scriptures didn't necessarily cross-reference. And you just think there's a multitude. And so I feel impressed to do that. It looks like a big, project. And, hopefully, Lord willing, I'll be able to start it very soon. I was thinking of actually using the FDA commentary for a large source of referencing, simply because they know Hebrew and Greek. And some things aren't quite as clear, except if you had that knowledge. But with that said, of course, there is a precaution. And I certainly would check with you guys over there in America and other places for your opinion and what you think about it. But it looks like years ahead. But as we've all heard tonight, we don't know if we've got that, do we? Actually, there's a song I'd like to share with you too. It's called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merits, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life for me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Thank you for listening, and God bless you. It's a very great privilege to share this Sabbath with you.
Amen, dear brother, and thank you. And yes, when you get started in that project, we're more than willing to help you, dear brother, give you our thoughts and critiques and help and encouragement. And if the Lord's putting that on your heart to do, then go forward. Begin working on it, dear brother. And even though Christ may come before you get it all completed, don't let that stop you. Because as you work on it, that may be exactly what you yourself need to do in order to understand the truth better, and thus become that much more closer to God and a much better workman for Him. So go forward, dear brother, and don't allow the nearness of Christ's return to prevent you from beginning that project. So praise God, and we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer, and we thank you for your prayers as well. And this is now two songs that you've sung for us, and there's got to be more in your repertoire. So we're really hoping that in the next coming weeks you'll be able to sing for us again. And praise God. Are there any other thoughts or comments or songs or testimonies that you'd like to give, dear ones? Please feel free to do so.
This last week, we got to see a part of Colorado we had never seen before. We got to Grand Junction, and we went south to Montrose, which was a part of Colorado we hadn't seen. And after we delivered our load there, they sent us down to New Mexico to get a trailer from a truck that was disabled. And so we saw a part of Colorado that was just gorgeous in the daylight, and the storm had passed, and there was some fresh snow out. And as we were going down, I kept thinking of a song, and you can just guess which one it was. Whiter Than Snow. And I got to thinking, you know, when the sun shines on that snow, how bright it is, and we think that it's really white. But the verse talks about making our sins whiter than that white snow. And so that's where we want to share. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from Thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at Thy crucified feet. Thy face for my cleansing, I see Thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, Thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought Thee, Thou never sayest no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Thank you. God bless.
Now there's a song I'd like to sing. It's called, O Brother, Be Faithful. O brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. O soon we shall enter our glorious home, and join in the conqueror's song. O brother, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who has shone Such deep, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own. O brother, be faithful, the city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold, and welcome thee into thy rest. Then, brother, be faithful, not long shall we stay in weariness here and forlorn. Time's dike knot of sorrow is wearing away. We haste to the glorious morn. O brother, be faithful, he soon will descend, creation's omnipotent king. While legions of angels his chariot attend, and palm wreaths of victory bring. O brother, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear thy Savior pronounce the glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear, to enter the joy of thy Lord. O brother, be faithful, eternity's years shall tell for thy faithfulness now. When bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears, a coronet gleam on thy brow. O brother, be faithful, the promise is sure that waits for the faithful and tried, to reign with the ransomed immortal and pure, and ever with Jesus abide.
Praise the Lord. That song is very beautiful. There is a song that we put in the room, like that y'all could be able to see the letters, and Dashi and I, we're going to sing it together. It's called Shayu Shalom.
Someone will enter the pearly gate by and by, by and by.
Days of his glory that day away, Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone will travel the streets that go.
Beautiful vision will there behold.
Be some of his Shalom for two.
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom. Someone will gladly his cross lay down. By and by and by. Faithful apple shall receive a crown. Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone the glorious king will see.
Ever for sorrow on earth be free.
Have you risen to eternity?
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone will knock on the door or shut.
By and by, by and by.
Spirit for sin, I know you not.
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone will come, shall not be heard.
Then he will strike when the door is burst.
Someone will bear the saints reward.
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom. Someone will sing the triumphant sound.
By and by, by and by.
Joy in the praise with the blood brought round.
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone will greet on the golden shore.
Love once the earth who have gone before.
Safe in the glory forevermore.
Shayu Shalom.
Shayu Shalom. Someone will enter the pearly gates.
By and by, by and by.
Days of the glory that there awaits.
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone will travel the street of gold.
Beautiful visions will there behold.
Feast on the pleasures so long foretold.
Shayu Shalom, Shayu Shalom.
Someone will gladly hear from lay down.
By and by, by and by.
Faithful love who shall receive a crown.
Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I.
Someone the glorious king will see.
Ever from sorrow be free.
Happy with him through eternity.
Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I.
Someone will not when the door is shut.
By and by, by and by.
Hear a voice saying, I know you not.
Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I.
Someone will call and shall not be heard.
Someone will strike and the door is there.
Someone will fail on the same reward.
Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I.
Someone will sing the triumphant sound.
By and by, by and by.
Joining the praise with the blood but throng.
Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I.
Someone will greet on the golden shore.
Loved ones of earth who have come before.
Safe in the glory forevermore.
Shall you,
shall I, shall you, shall I.
I have a song that I would like to sing. It's just a simple one, but it tells the longing of my heart. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go in this world below. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Thank you, Lord.
Jonathan Bancayo taught us this one. It's Christ Object Lessons 159. Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Keep it pure, Lord, take my heart. Save me in spite of myself, my weak unchrist-like self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. Christ's Object Lessons 159.
I'd like to sing one more song for you this evening. And this is O Solemn Thought. And it has a little different tune than what some of you may be familiar with. But I hope it strikes a chord in your heart. O solemn thought, and can it be the hour of judgment now is come, which soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom? Yes, it is so, the judgment hour is swiftly hastening to its close. Then will the judge in mighty power descend in vengeance on his foes. He who came down to earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and cherubim, to plead his blood for saints and make the last remembrance of their sin. The solemn moment is at hand when we who have his name confessed. Each in their lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. Jesus, we hope in thee alone, in mercy now upon us look. Confess our names before the throne, and blot our sins from out our book. O blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal, and aid us by thy Spirit's power. That we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict valiantly. Then on Mount Zion join the song and swell the notes of victory. This is my prayer, dear ones. Are there any other songs or any other testimonies or questions or comments or thoughts that you might have before we close tonight's service, dear ones? And please go right ahead.
We're going to sing one more song and it's Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. Oh, the Father went over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
In the sweet,
by and by,
we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
Hello?
We shall sing on the beautiful shore. The melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for a blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessing that follow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
In the sweet
by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming this evening and praise God for making this such a wonderful church service tonight. It is always a pleasure to come together with others of like faith and welcome in the Sabbath. I'll ask you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being here with us this evening. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes a little bit more to understand the things that were taking place during the flood and after the flood had occurred. And I pray, Father, that you will help each one of us to remember these things that we have read out of the scriptures and have understood a little more clearly through the spirit of prophecy, that we will not forget these things and then fall right in step with the antediluvian people. For Christ has told us that as it was in the days of Noah before the flood, so it will be in the days just before the Son of Man comes in the clouds of heaven. So, Father, please help us to avoid repeating their history and being lost. But help us to flee every moment of each day to our loving Savior, that we may become hid in Him and not be caught unprepared. We thank you so much for being with us this evening, and please continue to be with us now as we part just for a short time. Bring us back together once again in sweet fellowship and harmony and unity and love, so that we may more fully, as a group, glorify your name and help each one to grow up that much more fully into the man or woman or child in God, truly becoming His children. We thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now as we part. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, may God go with you. May His face shine upon you. May His countenance be raised up over you and protect you until we meet again, is my prayer. Keep looking up.